We shall turn to the Word of God in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, and we will read at verse 13. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Especially this last sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We have already considered the first three petitions that have exclusively to do with God, and we noticed that these occur in a descending scale from his name, the name of God, which is his attributes, titles, ordinances, word, and works, from his name down to the manifestation of his kingdom, and then down to the entire subjection of the citizens of the kingdom of God. And we noticed that the last petitions have to do with ourselves. The first three petitions have to do with God. The last three petitions have to do with ourselves and our own particular needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. And surely we should learn from this that in our prayers we are first and foremost to give God the glory, realizing that our own needs are second. And also let us now notice the order of the last three petitions, which have to do with ourselves and our needs. And the order is not on a descending scale going downward, but it's an ascending scale going upward from our earthly, temporal needs to our spiritual needs, our higher needs, from our daily bread up to the forgiveness of our sins, and finally, the prayer to be kept from sin itself and all evil. What wonderful order the Lord's Prayer presents to us, how comprehensive it is, and what a perfect pattern to direct us in prayer. Now we may ask, why does this petition, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," follow the fifth petition, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors"? Why does the fifth petition, "Forgive us our debts," come first, and then the other petition, "Lead us not into temptation"? Well, they're obviously both closely connected, and perhaps the reason is that because if God has forgiven our sin, we will desire to be kept from further sin. God has forgiven our debts, we don't want to get in greater debt. We want to be kept from all sin and from all evil. That will be the desire of every believer. Though we sin daily, yet we want to be kept from sin itself. And desire of avoiding sin and avoiding and temptation and seeking grace to be kept from falling into temptation, that will be evidence of our forgiveness. In other words, God does not save us from the punishment of sin just to let us go on in evil paths. And the child of God knows this and feels this. The forgiven sinner hates the sin that was forgiven, and he or she desires to be kept from falling into the same sin for the time to come. So here is an instinctive prayer for all believers. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." There remains in all of us the principle of sin, and this principle of sin in our souls will make use of temptations. The sin in the heart will be drawn out when tempted, and we have need of being kept from it. And we need to be praying earnestly that the Lord would keep us from falling into sin. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And with the Lord's help, we will notice two things very much in line with the petition, the desire to be kept from temptation, and secondly, the desire to be delivered from evil. First of all, the desire to be kept from temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Well, temptation is a great reality. It's something the scriptures speak about again and again. And it is indeed the source of a constant struggle for every true believer, every Christian. Satan tempts us, the world tempts us, we are tempted by our own sinful hearts. And temptation is not just to gross sins, but anything that is the instrument of drawing us away from our duty or bringing us into actual sin, that is a temptation. And the danger is that we may fall into temptation. We're not only in danger of being tempted, but we're in danger of being entangled. And so that is why we need to earnestly pray, lead us not into temptation. Generally, this petition is a prayer that, as the Shorter Catechism puts it, that God would either keep us from being tempted to sin or support and deliver us when we are tempted. Now, let's consider what temptation is for a moment. Temptation in general. And in general, temptation is simply a test. That is the scriptural idea behind the word. Now, we know, of course, today that the word temptation is almost exclusively used to mean enticement to something that is wrong and evil. But let's think about the original idea or the meaning of the word in the Bible. Remember, God tempted Abraham. God was not enticing him to sin. God was trying the obedience of Abraham. He commanded Abraham to offer up his son Isaac, and so he did. Abraham stood the test. He stood the trial. And so we might ask, why are we then commanded to pray, lead us not into temptation? Because God does bring his people into trials. How can we pray against something God actually does? Well, the answer is that is not what we're praying for. We're not praying that God would never try us. We know that trials are part of the Christian life. It's what we go through every day. And anything can be a trial. Anything is a means of testing us, testing our faithfulness. So we're not praying that God would never try us, but what we're praying for is that we would not enter into the evil of temptations. We're praying that we would not fall into temptation to sin. And James the Apostle, we read chapter 1 in the book of James, it makes it very clear that God does not entice people to sin. And he says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. You see, someone might say, well, James says, if we endure temptations, then that's a good thing. Well, someone might say, I have sinned, but then it was God who tempted me to sin. No, says James, God did not tempt you to sin. God did not entice you to evil. You were tempted to sin by your own sinful desires. So though the word in the first part of James chapter 1 is used for trials, yet here it is clearly being used in regard to sin. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So God does not tempt people as Satan does. Satan's endeavor is to seduce and entice people to sin. So God will try us, but he will not draw us to actual sin. Satan does that. The world does that. Our own evil hearts do that. But God does not. And God is not the author of sin, and he does not entice people to sin. Well, then another objection is, someone might say, in the Lord's Prayer, it seems that God could possibly lead us into sin because the prayer is, lead us not into temptation. Well, the answer to that is that the prayer is equivalent to this, that we're praying that God would keep us from entering into temptation. And it's similar to what David says, or the psalmist says in Psalm 141 and verse 4. He's praying to God and he says, "Incline not my heart to any evil thing. Lead me not into an evil thing. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties." Well, of course, God would never incline anyone's heart to an evil thing. So what the psalmist means is that God would not permit his heart to be inclined to an evil thing. So "lead us not" is the same as "do not permit us to enter into temptation." Do not permit us, keep us from it. Lead us not, keep us from entering into temptation. So in the Lord's Prayer, the petition is not that God would never try us, he would never test our obedience, but the temptation that is spoken of in the Lord's Prayer is temptation to sin. And we are praying that we would not be drawn into sin by our own inclinations to any temptation to sin. We are praying that we would not succumb to the temptation to sin. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Because we need to remember that we are always being tempted. We're not to pray that we will never be tempted to sin. There's temptation to sin all around us. We are tempted every day, every moment. But you see, we may be tempted and not sin. Christ was tempted, but he did not sin. And the fact is, we do not have any promise of never being tempted to sin. This is the ordinary case, the ordinary course we all take to be tempted. There's on the one hand trials that we go through, and on the other hand there are temptations all around us that our evil hearts could make use of and to sin against God. But you see, it's not that we should never be tempted to sin, but that we would never enter into the temptation. It's entering into the temptation that is not the ordinary experience of the Christian. Entering into temptation is something we should avoid at all cost. And we should always be resisting entering into temptation, and we should be seeking to be kept every moment, every day. And one more thing, on the other hand, entering into temptation, even that is not actually the same as committing the sin that we are tempted to. So it's possible even to enter into temptation and not fall under the temptation. It's an awful thing to enter into temptation, but the Lord is still able to deliver us from falling under the temptation, falling into that actual sin. So what we are praying for, "lead us not into temptation," is that we would not enter into temptation, that we would not be introduced into it, because that's the meaning of the word "lead into." It's the word "lead" literally is "bring into" or "carry inward." And we are praying, "do not carry us inward into temptation." So what is it then to be led into, carried into temptation? And remember, we are carried into temptation by our own sinful passions, our own sinful hearts. So entering into temptation is this: it's being entangled in the temptation, entangled by sin. It's when the temptation has more weight with us than ordinarily. It's when our minds are being affected and our affections are being drawn into it, and so that we are forced to fight with all our might against the temptation. As the Apostle Paul puts it in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 9, about being tempted to seek after riches, he says, "But they that will be rich," and he's not saying those that are rich, but he's saying those who want to be rich, "but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. So entering into temptation is like falling into a pit. How are you going to get out? It's a dangerous situation. You're in a snare. You're entangled in a web. And you need almighty grace, and only almighty grace that will get you out of that pit and that snare. So entering into temptation is when the temptation is influencing our minds with reasonings, affecting our hearts and drawing our affections, that we are entangled in the temptation. Or put it this way, we enter into temptation when the temptation enters into us. As John Owen puts it, we suffer a temptation to enter into us. When we do so, when we suffer a temptation to enter into us, that is our minds, the temptations in our minds and our affections, then we enter into temptation. And that is what we are praying that we would not do. We would not enter into temptation, that the temptation would not enter into our hearts, and we would not be entangled in it. Now again, we can ask, what is temptation? What is a temptation, rather? Well, it can be anything. Anything whatsoever, anything that is the instrument of our sinning against God, whatever our hearts make use of, whatever Satan makes use of to tempt us by, or whatever our sinful hearts make use of, it could be anything that is the occasion or the instrument of our sins. Think of a simple example, like a car. Well, a car is a good thing. We drive in a car to get to church. But that car may be the occasion of a person idolizing it, drawing the mind away from God to a piece of metal, a car. The car may be the means of bringing out the pride or the vanity of a person. And we can use the example of anything, a person's other possessions, or a person's talents, or their children, or any employment or hobby or activity or company or friendship or relationship. So whatever is the occasion or the instrument of drawing out our sinful desires, that is a temptation. And remember, Satan is the tempter, and anything that he may use to lead us into sin, that is the temptation. To draw out the evil of our hearts, entangling our affections, taking us away from our duties towards God, and lead us to sin against God. And so, friends, entering into temptation, that is the great thing to avoid. Having our minds and hearts seduced so that our affections are drawn in and our thoughts are reasoning for the temptation. The power of temptation is too great for us. And how great then is our need of this petition and the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, again, true prayer is desire out of a sense of need. And we need to think about our needs and our vulnerability. We are in great need of divine help because of our weakness, our great need of grace to be kept from falling into temptation. And so, like the larger catechism says, in this petition, we are acknowledging that the most wise, righteous, and gracious God, for divers holy and just ends, may so order things that we may be assaulted, foiled, and for a time led captive by temptations. God is sovereign. He may order things so that we are in a dangerous situation. And also, we acknowledge the agents of temptation, that we're surrounded by Satan, the world, and our own flesh within us, ready to draw us aside and ensnare us. We acknowledge these things, and we acknowledge that Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We are in great danger, and therefore we are in great need. We sang about that in Psalm 17, that the enemies of the soul are surrounding us. And we also acknowledge that, like as the Catechism says, that we, even after the pardon of our sins. Again, remember the petition is after forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Even after the pardon of our sins, by reason of our corruption, weakness, and want of watchfulness, are not only subject to be tempted and forward to expose ourselves unto temptations, we are not able to deliver ourselves from the temptation. We're not even willing to do so. We are still prone to wander into sin because of our corruption and our not watching over our hearts. And also, we are not even worthy of God helping us because of our sins. And any help from God, it is free and unmerited favor. And so we are praying that God would graciously, as the Catechism says, so overrule the world and all that is in it, subdue the flesh and restrain Satan, order all things, and bestow and bless all the means of grace so that we would be kept from falling into temptation. God is almighty and he controls all things, and if he does so and he orders all things, then surely we should be praying that he would order all things for our benefit, that we would be kept from entering into temptation. He is able to restrain Satan. He is able to restrain our corruptions. And he is able to bless all the means of grace to us. He has the power to keep us from being entangled in sin and temptation. And therefore it is to him that we must direct our prayers for safety and protection. So again, we're not praying that we would never be tempted, but we are praying that we would not enter into temptation. But at the same time, we do pray that God will keep us from being tempted above what we can bear, and that if it is according to his will, he would indeed even keep us from being exposed to particular temptations, keep us from being exposed to pressing temptations, and that by his restraining and overruling providence. And we're praying that God would quicken us to watchfulness and the use of the means of grace, and that we and all his people may by his providence be kept from being tempted to sin, or if tempted, that by his Spirit we may be powerfully supported and enabled to stand in the hour of temptation. So the Lord has made promises to keep his people. And that is basically what we are praying for, that to be kept, that he would prevent our falling into sin and prevent our entering into temptation, that we would not be entangled in it and we would not be wrapped up in it, that by his grace he would lead us not into temptation, but keep us from being seduced, keep our minds from being evil affected and our affections from being enwrapped by the objects of temptation. But even if we do fall into temptation, we may still pray, and we are bound to pray for recovery, that when we are fallen, that the Lord would raise us again out of the sin, and that we would be fully recovered from it, and that we would have a sanctified use and improvement of it, and that our sanctification and salvation may be perfected, Satan trodden under our feet, and we fully freed from sin, temptation, and all evil forever. That's the ultimate object of the prayer. That is what we're praying for final, full deliverance from all sin and misery, which will take place at the resurrection when Christ comes the second time without sin unto salvation, the full, the complete salvation and deliverance of his church. But in the meantime, we're praying that we would be kept from entering into temptation, that we would be spiritually healed, that we would be forgiven all our sins and be purified, and that we would spiritually benefit from our experiences, knowing that God works all things together for the good of his people. We pray that Satan would be utterly defeated, and that we would be at length, in God's time, completely delivered from all evil. Well, that leads us to the second part of the petition, briefly, and this is the desire to be delivered from evil. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Some people think that what is meant is the evil one, because of the definite article in the original, deliver us from the evil, or the evil one. But there's no reason why we should limit this prayer only to Satan. We should pray to be delivered from all evil, especially sin itself, and all that is harmful to our souls. Well, again, this part of the petition explains the first, because instead of entering into temptation, we desire rescue from evil. And we are praying that God would keep us from the evil of the temptation. Because, as it has been pointed out, entering into temptation, entangled with the temptation, is truly evil. It is very harmful. It is very dangerous. It's a very dangerous position to be in. If you've entered into temptation where you have to struggle with all your might, you have to cry mightily to God for deliverance, and it's very unlikely to come out without a wound, and the need to pray earnestly for forgiveness. As John Owen puts it, if we are led into temptation, evil will befall us more or less. So what a call to pray, deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So we are praying for sanctification, praying that God would restrain Satan, defeat him, and that we would be delivered from the power and dominion and the prevalence of sin. It has been suggested that Paul's prayer, or his expression of confidence, really, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, it was made in reference to this part of the Lord's Prayer, when he says, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom." Are we praying this prayer? Do we have this confidence that Paul the Apostle had? The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and he will, for all those who are sincerely praying to be kept from entering into temptation. The Lord truly cares for his people, and there is every reason to be encouraged, because the Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God. He is looking down on his people in love. He knows their struggles. He knows their temptations. He himself was tempted. He never sinned. He didn't have any sin, but he was still tempted. And Satan pressed upon him that he would enter into temptation and sin. But the Lord Jesus was almighty, and he stood the test. And he will give his people the grace to stand, because he is able to equip them with the whole armor of God and strengthen them in the conflict. And he is also able to comfort them when they are overwhelmed, when they are even broken, when they are wounded because they have sinned and they are grieved in their minds. But we read, those that are broken in their heart and grieved in their minds, he healeth, and their painful wounds he tenderly upbinds. And the Lord has compassion on his people. He pities them as a father pitieth his children. And he's also given us instructions. He has given us this petition to pray. And he has told us to watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. Let us watch over our hearts, seek grace to be constantly vigilant, watchful against sin, watching over our senses and the occasions of sin, and seek grace to be delivered from evil. And what else gives us great hope that God will answer our prayer, he will support and deliver us? It is because of his kingdom. He is the great king. He has power over all things. for the spiritual good of his people. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. May all of us be looking to Christ. May all of us be praying earnestly and sincerely. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And if we have not come to Christ, let us see that that is the foremost duty, the most important need we have is embracing Christ, coming to Jesus, trusting in him for salvation. Pray for that grace, the almighty power of God to work in you that faith that unites the sinner to Christ, that your eyes would be opened, that you would see his preciousness and suitability and sufficiency, and that you would lay hold of his promise, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Lord, be gracious to us. Help us to call upon thy name in truth, knowing that it is the cry of the destitute and those who truly feel their needs that thou wilt hear. The prayer of the hypocrite will be rejected. Those who refuse to hear thy word, thou wilt refuse to hear their prayers. Oh, that we would be affected by thy truth and our own great need, and that we would draw nigh to thee, pleading the fact that we have nothing, but thou hast everything that we truly need, and thou art able to supply us with grace, able to uphold us in difficulty. Thou art able to deliver us from the power of sin and lead us not into temptation. Do not permit us to be entangled in sin, but by almighty power restrain our corrupt nature and help us to crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts, that we would indeed also be watchful against temptation, watching over our hearts' affections and examine our attitudes and our thoughts, and bring everything, every opinion and purpose to the touchstone of thy word, seeking grace, O Lord, that all that we desire would be approved by thy word, and that we would endeavor to please thee in all things. That was the great desire of Paul. It is indeed the desire of thy people to please the Lord. And so we pray that thou wouldst not incline our hearts unto any evil thing, to practice wicked works with them that work iniquity. Keep us, Lord, from the path of the destroyer. Lead us not into the paths of sin, but lead us in the paths of righteousness, even for thine own name's sake. Hear us, Lord. Bless each one of us, and forgive all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We shall conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 17 and verse 13. Psalm 17, verse 13. Arise and disappoint my foe, and cast him down, O Lord. My soul save from the wicked man, the man which is thy sword. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from worldly men me save, which only in this present life their part and portion have. Whose belly with thy treasure hid thou fillest, they children have in plenty, of their goods the rest they to their children leave. But as for me, I thine own face in righteousness will see, and with thy likeness when I wake, I satisfied shall be. We will sing these four stanzas to the praise of God. Psalm 17 from verse 13. Arise and disappoint my foe, and cast him down, O Lord.